This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here at Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bontoni, Ben Stevens with you. Also coming up in just a little bit, professional bettor Bruce Marshall will join the program. He's got some college basketball plays. Maybe if we have time, sneak in a little college football as well with the college football playoff semifinals getting underway. Fiesta Bowl tomorrow. I know you've got some college hoops picks as well. Plus, we're going to puck around and find out, dive into the five-game NHL slate. So a lot to cover here. And real quickly, Ben, this is such a sidebar, and I was not expecting to go down this road, so apologize in advance. My husband just texted me that he threw away our coffee creamer this morning because it's gone bad. The creamer that I used in my coffee this morning. That is not what I like to hear. Am I going to be sick now? I'm unwell.
Oh, wow. Creamer is not something I ever mess with, man. When that expiration date hits, that's when I get worried. Other things, all right, my tuna wrap, not tuna, that was a bad example. My chicken Caesar wrap from Trader Joe's that expired yesterday, I'm still going to eat it for lunch as we finish Money Moves here. So I'm okay with that. Creamer, that's where I get scared.
Oh, man.
I saw a curdled creamer once in college at a house I was living in with a bunch of like other dudes. So we didn't take the greatest care of things. And literally one of my friends put it in his coffee, put it to his beard, and it stayed in his mustache area. So it's... Oh, Stormy, I like gagged immediately on response seeing that, like at 9:30 in the morning. So creamer is something I don't travel with. I don't know if that made your stomach feel any better after getting that text from your
husband. Did not. Yeah. I'm unwell. And what's interesting about this, too, is my husband's usually the one that the expiration date or best if used by date doesn't really mean a whole lot to him. But for me, it does. Like if we're close or we're one day over, I'm getting rid of it. I'm empty. I'm purging the refrigerator. But that was one. We've been out of town. I've been out of town for the last, 10 days. I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just making my coffee at home this morning. And now, okay, just prepare. If I'm not here tomorrow, you guys know why. That said, let's have a little fun. Let's try to take my mind out of this. Looking ahead to Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, we've put together a handful of interesting trends going in. So is the trend our friend? We will see. So producer Justin, if you would, let's fire up the music. Let's get this thing going a little bit. Starting here, I thought this was interesting, Ben. It hasn't been a very friendly trip on the road for favorites in recent playoff history. Road favorites in the wild card round, 0-4 outright the last 2 years. All road teams in that time, 2-10 outright, 3-9 ATS. And if you zoom out even more, since 2000, road favorites of less than a field goal, 3-12 against the spread, including 1-7 ATS since 2015. The short road favorites this year, we got the Packers laying 1.5 at Chicago, the Bills, same number at Jacksonville, the Texans laying the full field goal, taking on the Steelers. Is the trend our friend? Should we be looking at any of these short dogs to cover, maybe even win wildcard weekend?
Yeah, I would think so. A couple of trends that back up the idea the road favorite might be in a precarious spot. For instance, let's start with a game that could be a snowy Saturday night at Soldier Field in Chicago. Green Bay enters the postseason on a 4-game losing skid. Teams that have entered the postseason on a 4-game slide, 13 of them to be exact in the Super Bowl era, 10 of the 13 lost their opening playoff game. The Packers, an ever-so-slight favorite in Chicago. That final one there, the Houston Texans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We are all very aware of how good Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh have been when booked as an underdog in his now 19-year run as the head man in the Steel City. They are also ridiculous on Monday Night Football. For instance, Stormy, I dug up this stat. Pittsburgh is 23-5 straight up on Monday Night Football, 16-12 against the number under Mike Tomlin, 12-1 straight up, 7-6 against the number when those Monday Night Football games have taken place. In Pittsburgh, Houston, in the 2-year run, now 3 with C.J. Stroud, quarterback D'Amico Ryan's head coach. They have been great as a home dog to start in the wild card round, winning both outright, winless on the road. Yes, they have been an underdog in those previous two road tilts, but winless on the road. So I do think the trend of slight road favorites not exactly performing all that well in the opening round of the playoffs could carry over here in 2025-26.
And to that point on the Steelers, I don't think anybody's been talking about them, right? Like, that is not a team that you're like, oh, man, can't wait to take the field goal with the Steelers. Very interesting. Could we be in a precarious spot there? Big favorites, meanwhile, to transition from some of these short numbers, have been a very different story. Actually, a cash cow. Teams favored by at least 9 in the wild card round are 16-1 outright, 14-3 against the spread. Granted, most of these games have been at home, but the lone favorite of that size, the Los Angeles Rams laying 10.5 at Carolina. Is the trend our friend? Should we be laying it with the favorite?
Oh, yes, I believe we should. Since 2017 in the wild card round, underdogs are 27-15 against the number. That's great. Double-digit dogs, however, in the playoffs, we don't see it all that frequently since 2011. The last 15 years, just 5-13 ATS. That's enough to make me not want to bet Carolina right there. Then you add in the component of Sean McVay as the Rams head coach on the road as a 4-point favorite or greater, 19-2 against the spread, 19-2 straight up, and the overall against the number perspective, 12-9 ATS. As a road favorite against teams below 500, 21-4 straight up, 16-9 against the number. Again, how many of those were 10 plus points, the double digit number we're seeing now in favor of the Rams? I'm not entirely sure. But again, as we said yesterday, if I was going to bet this game from a side perspective to start off our 6 wild card weekend, it would probably be laying the number with Los Angeles.
Oh, and by the way, let's throw in, as Kendall Valenzuela brought up, the revenge angle. They're probably going to want to come out here and do some damage to the team that unexpectedly knocked them off when they were in the big favorites role last time around. The one conflicting stat I will give you here is that Carolina has covered 10 straight games after a loss dating back to last season, including 8-0 in that situation this year. Let's jump ahead here. Another one I thought was interesting. The Jacksonville Jaguars, 12-5 ATS. They have been awesome this year, entering wildcard weekend on an 8-game win and cover streak. Taking on a Buffalo Bills team led by last year's MVP Josh Allen, who is 0-4 outright and ATS on the road in the playoffs. Is that enough trend just for us to bet against Buffalo? How do you see it? Actually, I already know the answer because we have a future on Buffalo.
I do like the Bills at plus 475 to win the AFC championship, and a few reasons why. The Bills this year against bad teams were really bad, but against teams above 500, really good, both 5-1 straight up and against the number against teams above 500, of which Jacksonville is. 12-5 ATS for the Jags, one of four teams that enter the playoffs alongside the Pats, the Rams, and the Seahawks, with a 70% cover percentage or better in 2025. And Stormy, this is a really interesting one that I have no idea why it is the way. This is from Evan Abrams of Action Network. Teams that have covered at least 70% of their games in the regular season in the postseason, just 3-11 against the number. I don't know why that trend is the way it is, but that doesn't really help Jacksonville here, it would seem.
I haven't done a good job of interacting with our audience today. If you agree or disagree with any of this stuff, tweet at us, at Ben Scott Stevens, at Storm Bonantoni. Make sure you shoot us an email, moneymoves@vsin.com. We are all for the interaction. And I did laugh as somebody sent me a meme saying, at the break, running by the craps tables at Circa. They're Stormy in the fishbowl. Thank you. Yes, don't come in the door, but I do appreciate the shout out. That said, let's keep it rolling here. The San Francisco 49ers, 7-2 ATS on the road this season. They have done well in that spot, including 4-0 against the number, their last four, and 4-0 ATS on the road with Brock Purdy since he has been back healthy. They're getting 4.5 in Philly. Is the trend our friend or nah?
Nah, I don't really think it is. I mentioned it with Chuck. Brock Purdy has made 51 starts as the Niners starting quarterback, only been booked as a dog 4 times. The Niners have been loved by the odds makers the last 5 to 6 years in the National Football League. And in those 4 games as an underdog, 0-4 both outright and against the number. Let's double that with Jalen Hurts at home during his playoff career, a perfect 5-0 straight up inside the link, a 4-1 against the number record. And in those 5 outright wins, the average margin is close to 3 touchdowns, including the last time Brock Purdy, although he did not complete the game, started a playoff game against Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Sorry, Stormy, 31-7 NFC Championship game of the 2022 season.
Okay, yes. Why are you all doing this to me today? And I have a producer in Justin Emery who is an Eagles fan. As if I wasn't already probably going to be physically ill from this whole creamer situation. Now I have to deal with this on the Eagles side, which, by the way, Brian M. chiming in on social media, asking you shall receive. I assume Stormy was using something of the Coffee Mate style, which expiration dates are optional. actual cream, you would have smelled if you were going to have an issue. Very true. It was the Coffee Mate Vanilla. I've been caught. Okay, let me hit one more here quickly on the way out. Five straight Patriots games have gone over the total. New England at 11-6 to the over, tied for the second highest over percentage in the league. Do we get another one with a lot of points with the Patriots this week? Total 46.5.
Potentially, because when you look at things for LA and the two playoff starts that Justin Herbert has made, it has not been good. 0-2, both straight up and against the number. Part of that is Herbert throwing four interceptions last year against Houston, more INTs in that wild card round game than the entirety of the regular season for LA's quarterback. But it's also been the Bolts defense. They've allowed 63 points in total in the two playoff starts that Justin Herbert has made, at least 30 in both of those two playoff appearances. The dramatic comeback for Jacksonville in Duval County a couple of years ago. And of course, last year, as mentioned, against the Houston Texans. So we could see some points with the guy that has the second best price to win the MVP award in Drake May against the Bolts defense that, at least on the postseason stage, has given us some things to be desired.
That's a great segue, by the way, for a little bit later on. I am curious where you sit on the MVP debate between Drake May and Matthew Stafford. It is an interesting one with a lot of opinions. And as we have said, this time of year is so much fun to be a sports bettor, whether it be in the NFL, college football playoff, and Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action as well. Like, let's get in hockey, basketball. They've got everything covered. When you use our promo code right now, VSIN250, signing up for a Boomer's mobile account, they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets, plus -105 on all pro football spreads. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions do apply. Please bet responsibly. And by the way, tomorrow we will have veteran odds maker over at Boomer Sportsbook, Nick Bogdanovich, on the program. So get ready for that. In the meantime, we've got to step aside. Bruce Marshall, professional bettor, with his favorite plays coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I know we've been football dominant today here on Money Moves, so excited to get into a little hoops as we welcome you back to the program. Stormy Bonantoni, Ben Stevens, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, channel 158. And to help us break down what's a pretty interesting card with some good games, Bruce Marshall joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, professional bettor, writer, catch all the work over at sportsline.com. Welcome in, Bruce. And how fun is this time of year for you as a professional, having, of course, the high leverage games that we have in college football in the NFL, but all of the action in college basketball as well, where we're in conference play now and things are important.
You're right, Stormy. It really is cool. You know, one thing about college hoops in particular, we think we're busy in football season with all the teams. We got like three times as many in college hoops we got to follow. But it gives three times as many chances to find some teams to go with and go against and trends. And hopefully we can find some of those tonight. It's very, very exciting time of year.
Yeah, Bruce, let's do it. There's a huge slate on this Wednesday night. We've got ranked versus ranked games at the high major level, but a critical game in the Atlantic 10 tonight between VCU and St. Louis. Maybe you'll remember one of the stars of college basketball from a few years ago at Indiana State, Robbie Avila, now plays for his coach in Josh Schertz with St. Louis, taking on VCU this evening. VCU, a 3.5-point home favorite, as the Rams have seen some movement in terms of that number. Bruce, what's the approach for this matchup? A critical one in the A-10.
Ben, I'm going to look at a total here, and this is one of the better games of tonight. You know, if you look at Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, he's got both these teams in the field of 68. So we might get multiple bids out of the A-10 this year. These two might be the two best. You mentioned Josh Schertz a second ago there. I tell you what, whenever I watch this team play, I think how much fun it would be to play for Coach Schertz. And I read it a long time ago since I played, and I thought, God, I'd love to play in an offense like this. They share the ball. Everybody can shoot threes in this offense, including the big guy, Robbie Avila, with the with the glasses on. But Schertz knows how to work the portal. Yeah, he pulled Avila and a couple of others from Indiana State with him last year. But also, Deion Brown comes in here from BC, really having a good year in the backcourt. And Trey Green comes in from Xavier, also another good year, one of those double-digit scores. But VCU, I'll tell you what, Martelli Jr. is doing a very nice job with the Rams. Both of these teams can get up and down the court. I know this total's up there pretty high. I don't think it's high enough. These teams have been regularly having score lines into the 170s, 180s, and I think they go at it tonight, close game. Who knows? You might get an overtime, but I think we'll get in over the total before we get there. So I'm looking over the total. Good one tonight in the 8-10.
Speaking of overtime, the Boise State Broncos just played a 3-overtime thriller against San Diego State in which they came up short. They lose 110-107 on Saturday night. They've got Grand Canyon today back home in Boise, laying a pretty big number. Do you think they can bounce back in this spot? 8.5 points, the spread, total 138.5.
I'm thinking they can, Stormy, though this is interesting. We're talking about it off air. We got to get used to Grand Canyon playing in the Mountain West now. The
yes.
Mountain West teams have to get used to playing them. But also some adjustment for the Lopes here, because I think it's a little concerning the way they really came up flat at home in Phoenix in their Mountain West home debut. They did win a game at Wyoming earlier, but Colorado State, which has been struggling some lately, didn't have too much trouble with Grand Canyon on the weekend down in Phoenix. So I'm wondering if the Lopes are going to have a little bit more trouble once they get out into this league, which is a little bit of an upgrade from where they were in the WAC. Yeah, you mentioned Boise had that triple overtime. You know, I turned that thing off early in the second half. I thought San Diego State's got this in the bag. Then I find out an hour later they're still playing in triple overtime. They have played better lately. The win over New Mexico at home last week was good. They've also beaten St. Mary's recently. They've beaten Butler. And this is about the time Leon Rice's teams usually kick into gear. And some functional guys there down in the blocks there with Fielder and Meadow, they're a little bit different look than some of the other Mountain West teams. I'm going to give Boise a look here tonight. I think Grand Canyon might start to struggle some, so I'll give the Broncos and Leon Rice a whirl tonight up in Boise.
Bruce, a college hoops handicapper that can do it all. 8-10, Mountain West. How about some Big South action tonight in Rock Hill, South Carolina, between Winthrop and Charleston Southern? The Eagles at home, Bruce, a 7.5-point favorite in this conference game. How do you approach this matchup tonight?
Double-barreled. I think that's a little bit too much for Winthrop to be laying, but this, I mean, we can find this game somewhere out on the TV somewhere tonight. It might be worth watching, mostly because of Charleston Southern, but also because of Winthrop. These teams combined to make almost 24 triples per game, so they really shoot outside a lot. And Charleston Southern, the Bucks, this is like a Gatling gun offense. They are third nationally in number of triples attempted, over 36 per game. Third nationally in triples made per game, about 13 per game. So they really fire the ball from deep, and they just keep shooting. And they've got some scorers, especially their top guard, Bryson Blaine, really shoots threes a lot, and he's close to 40%. Sumner's over 40%. I mean, they really are good from deep. Winthrop a little bit different. Now, they've got some offense, too, and they have got a big kid down on the blocks, Duncombe. Really, really tough, and he gives them a post presence, and you cannot cheat on the perimeter against Winthrop because of Duncombe down in the blocks. They score a lot of points, too. These two teams also combine for a lot of points, and I don't know that the mid-160s is high enough. Lighter vote on Charleston Southern, stronger vote on the over tonight. Very entertaining game. If you can tune this one in somewhere tonight, I think you'll be rewarded. It should be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, we'll do it. And by the way, let's go from South Carolina to North Carolina, where Davidson is visiting Loyola Chicago tonight. Loyola Chicago laying about 1.5 right now, total 135.5. What caught your attention here?
Yeah, I've been sort of on Loyola here lately. Now, I was against them, and I'm not doing this because my daughter went to Loyola because she didn't like it too much for what it's worth. But I don't know what was wrong with Loyola early in the season. I mean, they really were struggling out of the gate. But we've seen some improvement here the last several weeks, and it might be that the one of the frontliner power forward Xavier Amos transferred from Wisconsin. When he became, he returned to active duty in mid-December there, all of a sudden things seemed to be perking up there for Drew Valentine. He's got a full lineup of double-digit scorers. Reuben, the big kid, the center, anchors the post pretty well. So they've got some frontline presence. Justin Moore's a good guard. They've been playing better. They almost had Dayton. They led that game the whole way on Saturday. They beat Santa Clara and Rhode Island in the games before that. Not too bad. And I don't know about Davidson there. I've been kind of in and out with Davidson this year. They did come back and get St. Joe's on the weekend, but they've been kind of inconsistent and had lost three games in a row before that, including against Temple. I'm going to give Loyola Chicago a ride here. They've been covering a lot of games. Let's see if they can do it at this very short price tonight.
Covered in their most recent in the A-10 against a really good Dayton Flyers team, only losing that game by a bucket. 5-10 for Loyola Chicago this year. First 4 years under Drew Valentine, 23 wins in three of those four seasons. They'd have to win a lot of games to get to 23 this time around. Bruce, let's go quickly from college basketball to the college football playoff semifinals. Starts tomorrow night in the Fiesta Bowl. Miami a 3.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. Total stands currently at 52 and a hook. Friday night in the Peach Bowl between Indiana and Oregon. Hoosiers a 3.5-point favorite. Total now up slightly to 47.5. What's your favorite play in either of the two that we have in the semifinal round of the CFP?
I kind of like Oregon. And I'll tell you why. We know how good Indiana looked against Bama last week. But I'll tell you, Kurt Cignetti, and I have total respect for him, and I've been trying to figure out who he reminds me of coaching-wise, and I was thinking, Barry Alvarez in the past, and it took Alvarez a few years to get Wisconsin going. Bo Schembechler, if you look back at Michigan when Schembechler got there and the way they destroyed teams from about midway in the first year of 69 and through the 70s, even before that, Miami, Ohio, when he had something that worked, and it was always running the football, usually between the tackles, he would just keep hammering that mercilessly, ruthlessly, and they ran up all those scores. That is exactly what Cignetti has done the last couple of years, and this is a run-first offense. It really is, even though Mendoza is there winning the Heisman. Now, I knew my Alabama pick was in trouble last week and late in the first quarter because Indiana was gaining 6-7 yards per carry right out in first down. I don't think they're going to do that to Oregon. In fact, this year, the games they had real trouble, the Iowa game, the Penn State game, even the first Oregon game, they did not run that well in any of those games. They had to kind of go to plan B. I was very impressed with Oregon last week against Texas Tech. Really impressed. They manhandled a team that was so hot coming in. And I think this is just going to be a slugfest. I think this is probably an under as well on Friday night. But I think Oregon's got a shot here. One other thing, the revenge in the rematches, we saw back from conference championship weekend in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs. Now 6-2, the team's looking to avenge the earlier loss in the regular season. That would favor
Bruce,
Oregon here. So I'm going to look out.
We're up against it, but thank you so much.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We had so much fun talking hoops with Bruce Marshall last segment. We figured we'd keep it going for a little bit more as we welcome you back here to Money Moves VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Ben Stevens, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And worth noting, for the one ranked top 25 game that we have coming up today, Vanderbilt and Alabama, it's a good time to be a Vandy basketball fan right now. Their women's program is undefeated and just knocked off the number 5 team in the country in LSU a few days ago. And now Vandy comes into this game with Alabama, a perfect 14-0 themselves. So what do you make of this one? They are at home laying 4.5 against the Crimson Tide today.
Stormy, I was on Cashing Out late last night with Dustin Sweetelson. He asked for a college basketball bet that I was looking forward to on this Wednesday. This was the spot that I went. Top 20 till tonight in Nashville. Year number 2 under Mark Byington for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They're my pick right now to win the SEC. I wish I would have bet them before conference play started because they are currently the favorites. Not the same SEC that sent 13 of 16 teams to the big dance a year ago. Vandy, a 4.5-point home favorite, same number as the overnight line. What we have seen the most movement on is a total that opened at 177 and a hook. It is now 180 and a half. It speaks to how efficient these two offenses are, two of the top five offenses in the sport. And it's not just a total because both teams can score. It's the pace and the tempo both Vandy and Alabama play at. Both teams want to get up and down the floor quickly. Both teams are going to take a crap ton of threes in this basketball game. The Tide better because they shoot a ton of threes at running opponents off that three-point line. I still trust in Vanderbilt in this game. Again, I think Vandy is going to win the SEC. I believe the Commodores are a second weekend, if not Final Four team, come the NCAA men's tournament. I think Vandy makes a statement tonight, covering as a 4.5-point home favorite. You see that total up by 3 to 180.5. I would just say if you are betting that number, you need to think that both teams can touch 90 tonight. If not, probably not the wisest bet to go to the over, even for how fast and how good offensively both clubs are.
One thing you do at least feel good about if you are somebody on the other side of this thing and you liked Alabama, they have played the toughest schedule in the country to this point, so they are at least battle-tested coming into this game against Vandy. But you said it. The Commodores are hot right now and actually favored to win the SEC as an even money shot right now. Alabama, your second shot on the board at plus 330. Florida, plus 750. Arkansas, 8-1. Another game that I know caught your eye and is interesting in terms of where the market is going with this one is Creighton and Villanova. We saw Villanova open as high as 7, currently sitting as a 5.5-point favorite, and it has been one-way traffic on the over for this game as well, up from 139.5 to 143.5 right now.
It's really scary, Stormy, when you bet a game or look at a game early on a college basketball morning when there's over 100 or close to that on a Wednesday slate. And then you see the sharp money come in on the other side of what your bet is, and you see the market work against you. I think in college basketball, you could throw college football into this equation and conversation. It's the most paramount time where you try to get the best of the number, and if it works against you, you might have had a bad ticket. We shall see. It's still early in conference play to reset those algorithms and power ratings. I'm a big fan of what Kevin Willard has done early here with Villanova, one of the slower teams in college basketball, but incredibly efficient. On this Wednesday, Stormy, we have 11 Division I college basketball teams that rank top 25 in both offensive and defensive efficiency in terms of those KenPom metrics. Villanova is one of them. I bet this at 6.5. It is now 5.5. I just checked the circus splits on VSiN. 99% of the handle on Greg McDermott and his Jays tonight in Philadelphia. It is not the greatest spot to be, but I still do believe Villanova is a very talented team. The ticket is placed. All we can do is hope that the reasons I believed in Villanova, despite what the betting market is telling me, are going to come through tonight.
Go Wildcats. I'm here for it. Before we move on, because I know we do have some hockey we're going to get to as well, anything else in college basketball that you at least wanted to get out there or were maybe thinking about contemplating as you went through the card today?
One number to pay attention to in Big Ten action, Indiana on the road is a 7.5-point favorite against Maryland in College Park. It has not been a great start to the Buzz Williams era for this Terps team, and they're not very good defensively. There's three teams right now on KenPom that rank outside the top 80 in terms of defensive efficiency from the Big Ten. Rutgers, Penn State is abysmal, although they gave Michigan a great test last night in State College, and this Terps team. 147.5 is the total. I lean to the over tonight between the Hoosiers and the Terrapins. I think we are going to see some points. We have seen an Indiana team in its first year under Darren DeVries find their footing offensively because they shoot the three so much more and so much better than years prior in Bloomington.
Good deal. And we will recap some of these best bets again coming up in the final segment before we're on our way out of here, just in case you miss anything. Let's shift gears to a little hockey. The NHL, we got 5 games tonight. Time to puck around and find out. And the New Jersey Devils, I don't know if you saw this, they certainly pucked around yesterday. I guess we might as well put it that. They got torched 9-0. For anyone who didn't see, Nico Hischier, their captain, even after the game, was just flat out embarrassing. I don't know if there's any Letterkenny listener watchers out here, but it reminded me of the Letterkenny hockey coach. He's like, embarrassing. That's what happened last night. Shout out Robert DeCourt, who was tweeting at us on Twitter yesterday, for pointing out just from a stat perspective in this game, Ilya Sorokin, goaltender for the Isles, had 44 saves in a shutout performance. Meanwhile, Jacob Markstrom on the other side gives up 9 on just 24 shots. He gave up goals on the first two shots of the game to Matthew Barzal just seconds into the game. And then a couple minutes in, Anthony Duclair, who ended up having 2 in the first period and a Hattie, plus a couple more points after being a healthy scratch the last few games. So just absolutely bonkers yesterday. We'll see if we have any more of that chaos coming up tonight. Neither of these teams in action, but just something I felt like we had to bring attention to because it was insane. I don't even know what you would compare something like that to in college football. Maybe what Indiana did to Alabama. Too soon?
Yeah, it's something like that when the margin is steep. You can do something like dog ears. Is that 63 zip in terms of a football score for what the Isles did last night at UBS? Listen, I'm not the biggest hockey guy. I'm not even the best math guy. But I know that 9 of 24 is a much worse and higher percentage than 0 of 44. So shout out Ilya Sorokin for a clean sheet in net.
It ain't good. I will tell you, though, I'm hoping for goals in the Stars-Capitals game, though, coming up tonight. And since we've been on the air, we've been talking so much football, I haven't had a chance to see starting goaltenders for the Stars, whether it's going to be Jake Oettinger or Casey DeSmith. But I'll tell you, either way, I still feel good about it. Dallas has given up at least 4 goals every night over this 6-game losing stretch for them. DeSmith even coming in relief of Jake Oettinger in a tough performance yesterday. He did stop 16-17, but still let one in, has given up 3-plus goals in 5 of his last 6 starts, 4 in each of the last 2. Logan Thompson in the other net, confirmed for Washington. He's been great this season, made Canada's Olympic roster for a reason, but been struggling as of late as well. Last 6 starts, he's 1-5 as a starter, opposing team scoring 3, 4, 5, 3, 7, 5 in those games. The Caps defensively have been giving up a lot more quality scoring chances lately too. So I like the over in this one. 6.5, it looks like most spots. I grabbed 6 that was slightly juiced here at Circa in the -115, -120 range. So do with that what you will. I didn't really have a firm opinion on the side in this one. Neither team playing particularly great hockey, which I'm hoping can lead to a little chaos and we get some goals on both sides in this one. Going through, there were a couple totals I was looking at. The other one in the Senators and Mammoth game, Utah got off to such a hot start to open the season. Been pretty hot and cold since. Could see this being an over game. Similar situation as we just talked about where it's 6.5s in most spots, but there are 6s in the market with a little juice. Utah 6-3-1 to the over the last 10 games at home, 4-1 last 5. Senators 6 of their last 8 games with 6-plus total goals. Ottawa's good defense offensively, but doesn't have a defense you can trust. And usually that's kind of a recipe for overs. Those were the only 2 bets I ended up putting down here, but a few other like leans that we could get to a little more in the next segment. I've totally enticed you to watch these games, haven't I, Ben?
For sure. I want to see a lot of goals. I like to see that, Stormy. So yeah, for sure I'll watch a little bit of the puck tonight. It also really is compelling to me when you look at the Eastern Conference. Ottawa is in the cellar of the Atlantic right now with only 45 points, but they're separated from the top by just 10. All 16 teams in the East, I saw this today, all 16 teams are separated by a total of 12 points in terms of the standings right now. I know it's been one of the main storylines how up in the air the Eastern Conference is as we approach the Olympic break. But the fact that we have 16 teams separated in full by 12 points, nobody has more than 55, nobody fewer than 43. That's crazy. The race for the playoffs in the Eastern Conference this year in the National Hockey League is going to be absolute chaos and then a lot of theater.
Who's going to be at the top? Who's going to win these divisions? The wild cards, all of it fascinating. Even when you look at the odds board in the Eastern Conference, the top 3 teams in Carolina, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Florida Panthers are all within that plus 320, plus 450 range. So it's going to be fun as things play out. We do have to take a quick time out here. Did want to remind you before we go, though, with it being the new year, everybody's New Year's resolution should be a better. And if you come join VSiN on a full-time basis, you're going to have that opportunity. Get the daily best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and full show replay access in the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. You can get started today for as little as $9.99 or save 50% with our annual plan right now. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can do it all. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping things up here as we go Welcome you back to Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, alongside Ben Stevens, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We will recap our best bets here at the end of this segment. But real quickly, I did want to touch on some of these NFL awards markets real quickly, because they are so reactionary on a week-to-week basis, and we're even seeing that at the very end of the season here, most notably for MVP. And I feel like you are either a Drake May person or a Matthew Stafford person, and there is no in between where we're sitting right now. And Bill Barnwell of ESPN, in the last 24, 48 hours, had an article up breaking down his opinions on each of the awards. And he made sure to clarify in his write-up, they were not predictions. They are what he thinks, or who he thinks should win. And when he got to MVP, he chose Drake May. And he was citing a lot of the rationale being, well, yes, the Patriots is, in terms of their schedule, it's the easier schedule, but the passing defense that he's faced have actually been more difficult. So Drake May is currently second on the list here at plus 160 after being odds on a week prior for beating up on the Jets for God knows what reason. Matthew Stafford then finishes his season on a high, and we see the two flip again, and he's minus 195.
We have seen a lot of movement in this market, of course, and Stormy is very correct. You basically are either Team Drake May or Team Matthew Stafford. I have been Team Stafford all year long because of the prolific touchdown numbers and how much he was taking care of the football. And for a long time, these two teams were neck and neck for that best record in the National Football League. I thought Bill's piece was interesting on ESPN as well, because as I try to remind people, whether it's the NFL MVP, an MVP award in whatever professional league, certainly with the Heisman Trophy, Stormy, it's not always about production, statistics, metrics, advanced or otherwise. A lot of it is narrative. These are writers. These are people voting for this award that love to tell a good story. And when you see the 37-year-old Matthew Stafford, perhaps in his final NFL season, putting up the numbers he is without ever winning an MVP, there is probably that tug on the heartstrings. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying it could be the reality in terms of MVP voting to cash this ticket, because it's not the odds rating that's going to cash the ticket. It's the writers and the voters that ultimately make that determination. So I thought it was interesting that Bill was kind of going back against the narrative. Well, if individual success at the QB spot is needed with team success to win the most valuable player award, Drake May's team was the one that ended up as a divisional champ. Drake May's team was the one that ended up with more wins and a better record than that of Matthew Stafford's and the Rams. Ultimately, I still think Matthew Stafford, booked as the minus money favorite here, is going to win the MVP award for the narrative I laid out before. 37 years old, the gunslinger that he still has, the touchdown passes nearly at 50. I think Matthew Stafford is going to win NFL MVP. I hear the arguments for Drake May. I would not be mad at voters for voting for Drake May. I just think at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford is going to win that first MVP award in his NFL career.
And I know Drake May gets some credit, too, for what he does with his legs. He did have 450 yards and four touchdowns on the ground. But even still, Stafford had 11 more total touchdowns than Drake May had with the same interception number. The passing yardage for both. Stafford finishes the season with 4,707. May finishes with 4,394. So Stafford's got the edge, obviously, in both of those two categories. Meanwhile, May has the edge in QB rating, passer rating, completion percentage, so some of the more advanced metrics, depending on what you look at. I'm in total agreement with you, though. I think the element of the lifetime achievement for a guy who had such a special season and the end of the rope is near, compared to a player in Drake May who still has so much runway and potential to do great things, paired with the schedule, which I do think is still something you can't ignore. And I understand Barnwell's argument specifically looking at passing defenses. However, this is still not only did the Patriots big picture have the easiest strength of schedule of the season, but it was the easiest in the last 25 years. Like, there is some significance to that. And depending on what your defense is doing to help you out in certain moments, you have to overcome offensively and outpace people on that side of the ball. So I don't know. I give Stafford a lot of credit. I am very biased, and our audience knows that I bet Matthew Stafford live during the course of the season to be the league's MVP. I hope that is the result so that my ticket can cash. But I also just believe it. I also just believe it to be right. Yeah. So we'll see how things all play out come NFL award season when we get there the week of the Super Bowl. But for now, that's how I see it. Any other awards before we get out of here with our best bets that either stand out to you or you wonder why a player is as deep of an odds-on favorite as they are for a certain category potentially?
I was a little bit surprised to see the Coach of the Year odds and see that Mike McDonald and Liam Cohen had longer odds and Mike Vrabel is the minus money favorite. Vrabel has done some incredible things in New England, but this is his second stint as a head coach. He had a winning record in 6 years with the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. That did not end the way they expected. I understand the Pats won 4 games each of the past 2 years, and he has turned it around to 13 and an AFC East crown, winning this division for the first time in more than a half decade. I get it. I still think Mike McDonald has done incredible work, and you could make the same argument about winning few games and turning that around instantly that Liam Cohen has done in Duval. And I think what he has done in terms of claiming the AFC South once again to be hosting a playoff game, even if he does not end up winning Coach of the Year, I expected a shorter price than plus 750 when all was said and done.
Yeah. Also, you look at that awards board for some of the long shots. Fascinating that one game at the end of the season that was four, by the way, the one seed, and I know it was a bad performance, yeah, but that Kyle Shanahan goes from as low as like plus 350 to 300-1 after one result. That is that not crazy? That stood out to me, at least looking at where the current numbers on FanDuel are.
Yeah, and it's really important, Stormy, to highlight that as well, because these are not things that are rated through algorithms or the power ratings that we see when we are putting up a bet or future prices to win a Super Bowl. Even those future markets can be a little bit more reactionary. That has to do with narrative and what have you done for me lately. The 49ers had an opportunity to never leave Santa Clara in hopes of playing in Super Bowl 60. They lose that game. They're on the road. They're a 4.5-point dog in Philadelphia. It feels like, oh, well, good season, San Francisco. Sorry you overcame all those defensive injuries, Kyle, to get them to the playoffs in the first place. Kick rocks, pack your bags. We'll see you in 2026. That happened on the basis of one result, which is a storyline, which is a narrative, which is reactionary. It's very different betting these markets than just being like, ooh, my edges give me a 3-point advantage here on the spread. I'll take the favorite.
No question about it. Insane. Okay, last couple minutes. Let's get out of here. For anybody who missed us last segment, let's hit on the best bets. And before we do, might as well give yourself a little kudos for the 2 green check marks you got with the plays yesterday in College Hoops.
I hope I can end my 2-day run on Money Moves with a winning record. And I hope at bare minimum, at least we will finish 500. Yesterday, we got Iowa, Minnesota over 131.5. Crazy game. If any of you watched it, final possession for the Hawks was nuts. And St. John's did what I expected them to do in Indianapolis, winning big against Butler inside Hinkle. They cover as a 4.5-point road favorite. I feel the same way, Stormy, about Villanova and Butler as we saw on Saturday. The Cats were a 2.5-point dog in Indy. They win that game outright by double digits. It's one of the reasons I believe in a Villanova team in year one on the main line under Kevin Willard. And it's why I laid 6.5 with them tonight against Creighton. The Blue Jays not nearly as good this year under Greg McDermott for what has been a great basketball program in a place I used to live in downtown Omaha, Nebraska. I believe in Nova winning this game, and yet the market works against me. 6.5 is 5.5, and it's circa 99% of the handle on the Jays as the underdog. Bet that at your own risk. I still remain confident, in Vandy laying 4.5 at home against Alabama. Pace is going to be up. Total is 180.5. Two of the 45 fastest teams in the sport. Two of the 5 most efficient offenses in all of D1 men's college basketball this year. I think Vandy makes a statement that they are the cream of the crop in the SEC. They win this game by at least 5, covering at home tonight in Nashville.
Nothing for me to grade from yesterday, but I do have a couple plays on the ice tonight. Just a lean, didn't play it, might before puck drop later on, but Montreal money line, that is an angle I was looking at, or maybe even regulation draw at around plus 300, the price there with how many overtime games we've seen with them, 4 in their last 6 of late. That said, still TBD there. I am on over for the Stars and Caps, as well as the Senators and Mammoth, both at the 6, albeit at a little bit of a juice price at minus 115. I did confirm in the break that starting in net for the Dallas Stars will be Casey DeSmith, which I like better because Jake Ottinger in games against the Caps for his career, 6-0 with a 1-2-5 goals against, 1-0 final in the first meeting between these two. they are both in very different stages of their seasons at this point. The Stars enter this one on a 6-game losing streak. They just lost 6-3 in Carolina for game one of a lengthy road trip yesterday. The Caps not playing great hockey, yet they, too, 7-4 win the other day. Ovi broke his goalless drought. I think offensively we should be able to get some good stuff on both sides of that one, especially now, as I mentioned, with the Smith in net and Senators mammoth over as well. And a lot of that playing on how good offensively Ottawa is. A defense, though, one that you don't trust at all. So that's a wrap for us today. This segment and this whole show went by super quickly. Ben, thank you for hanging out with us the last couple days. It has been awesome. We hope to see you soon. Stick around, though. Once we are wrapped, Follow the Money with Mitch and Paul coming up next.